This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Joining me now, Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies, as we, hey, Spence, man, we got to 20. We're 10 away. I'm really excited about getting down to single digits here, but, you know, win, my friend, win.
Yeah, this stretch has been a little rough, and I'm honestly shocked that they got to 20. I do my game tweets after every game, and I started to kind of reverse jinx them a bit, and I did that on Friday night, and they ended up winning, which was electric. But I was shocked that they won that one, and I don't foresee them winning another game in L.A. or a game in L.A. after they blew the game last night the way that they did. So it's going to be they're going to need some home wins here when they come home at the end of this week.
And I love following what you're doing on the tweets, the Colorado, what you're doing with the losses or when they get the wins, the Wallerado. I love it. Also, you go, hey, what went right? What went wrong? Gritty wins, infuriating losses, all of it, man. You're documenting this team perfectly. You know what the gross thing is? They're 20 and 35. I don't think they even were in double digits at this time last year, Spencer. So they're much better than last year. However, they're the worst team in baseball again, at least according to their record.
Yeah, it's a very weird dichotomy of how you want to view this season, because you are correct. Last year at this time, the Rockies were 9 and 45, meaning they were winning 3 out of every 18 games. This year, they're winning 4 out of every 11 games. And so if you want to look at it in the lens of are they getting better, you can comfortably say that they are. If you want to look at it the lens of are they any good, you can comfortably say that they're not.
Yeah, I mean, that's the truth. Maybe, hopefully, is somewhere in between. I'm not real sure how to look at it. But, you know, against the Dodgers, what were they? Was it 3-1? In the bottom of the seventh, and of course the Dodgers just opened it up. I didn't feel confident they were going to hold on to that by any stretch, but you know, the Dodgers will do that to you. They might have games where it just takes a little bit, and then bam, one inning to just light it up, and that's what they did.
Well, yeah, and it was a frustrating chain of events last night, because you have Tanner Gordon going against Emmett Sheehan, Emmett Sheehan's obviously, you know, every Dodgers pitcher is a dog. Ironically, they're seeing Eric Lauer tonight, which is kind of shocking that he even pitches for the Dodgers. But they got to him a little bit early. They scored a couple of runs. Ezekiel Tovar, who has completely turned it around in the past 3 to 4 weeks, hits a home run in the seventh inning to extend their lead to 3-1. The Dodgers bullpen was working on a 38-inning scoreless streak. So he broke that, hit the home run, gets you a 2-run lead. And the kind of the chain of events that happened is everybody feels like they took Tanner Gordon out too early. They took him out after 80 pitches and finishing 5 innings. And then Juan Mejia had a successful 6th inning, but where things started to go wrong is Juan Mejia then came out for the 7th and proceeded to walk 2 guys right away. They get him out of there. Brendan Bernardino comes in and hits a guy right with an 0-2 count, and you're like, there's just every game there's an inning or multiple innings where you're like, this is why we can't have nice things. And they just blow up. And the rest of the game, if you take away the seventh inning from the bottom of the seventh inning from last night, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
And you're just like an innocent bystander. You're like, these two teams are about the same. And then it's the little things that just come back to bite them. I mean, in that seventh inning, they can't turn the double play on Shohei Ohtani, which originally he was called out. They can't turn that double play, and that inning turns into a 4-run inning, which would have been only 1 run and still a 3-2 lead had you been able to turn the double play on Ohtani. So minuscule little things that hurt them, but they are improving. I mean, they are definitely much improved over last year, and you've got some bright spots. Some injury bug is starting to hit them a little bit, which is unfortunate, especially with some of the starting pitching. And then Mickey Moniak, your most powerful OPS hitter going down. So they're kind of struggling through it right now. But every series, and I've been telling Christian this on the show, every series that the Rockies play is the exact same, every three-game series. They lose one game close where they probably blow it late. They get blown out in one game, and then they win it in a game that you think they shouldn't. And, I mean, it's uncanny the last 10 series that are three games how it's gone this exact same way every single time.
That's amazing. Yeah, I got the schedule pulled up, and it checks out. That is phenomenal. Spencer Smith joining us of DNVR Rockies. All right, so for infuriating losses, you have 10 marked off here. What games like last night, I would imagine, fit that criteria. Talk to our audience here about what exactly fits when it comes to those infuriating losses.
Infuriating losses are something that is pretty much strictly on the bullpen. So last night is one of those infuriating losses where you're watching the game and through 6 to 7 innings, you're like, oh my gosh, they're going to win this baseball game. And they completely blow it. And it's not necessarily always the bullpen's fault. It could be, you know, some of the fielding or some of the plays that they make that turn into more runs. You know, if they make an error in the third inning and it turns into a 4 or 5 run inning when it should have been none, that can contribute to an infuriating loss. But I will say, regarding the tweets, this year we've changed to a little more positivity, because last season it was infuriating losses and exciting losses. Now we have gritty wins and infuriating losses.
But that right there tells you there's a little more optimism surrounding this team and where to go. You talked about it with the pitching and kind of Warren Schaefer's just not pressing those right buttons, or maybe pressing those buttons a little too soon. But it still feels close. Like, there's just, as you said, a lot of these games we're seeing one inning where, you know, this guy's been left in a little bit too long. We're going to ask him to, after a solid 6, we're going to throw him out there for a 7th, and it blows up in your face, or we pull a guy too soon. It just seems like Schaefer's one step behind or one step too far ahead.
Yeah, and he's been doing a decent job with the roster that he has this year in trying to manage it and manage the players, but there needs to be some more consistency in my eyes going forward. And I know this whole season is really what I've called it multiple times on our show, is an experimental phase. It's what guys can help you win at Coors Field, what guys in the field can help you be a better defense than they were last year, what guys at the plate can strike out less, take more walks, not chase as many bad pitches. So it's all experimental at this point, but you're right. I mean, when they lose these games, the one game of the series that they don't get blown out, because that'll happen every single series, and that's led them to have, unfortunately, at this point, not only the worst record in the MLB, but the worst run differential in the MLB, too, because for a while they were in the mid-20s there where, yes, you're not good, but you're definitely improving, and now they're back to the worst run differential. But those close games, if you just change one at bat or get one base hit with runners in scoring position when it seems like you're always struggling to do that, get the big hit, the game could flip and you could win 2 out of 3 in some of these series, and they're just not able to do it. And I don't know that there's a way to prove this without doing an insane amount of innocuous research, but the Rockies lead the MLB in what I've created of a stat of meaningless hits, meaning they'll get 2 outs in an inning. They'll get a single, another single, have first and third, 2 outs, and not score any runs. Well, you got 2 hits in the inning, and you didn't score any runs. In the Diamondbacks game on Saturday night, they had the leadoff man on or multiple runners on in the first 6 innings, every single inning, and failed to score a single run during that stretch. And that's really the frustrating part, is when you look at all the guys' individual numbers, you're like, wow, we have pretty decent individuals here. You know, nobody's got 20 home runs like Murakami does and for the White Sox or anything like that, but they've got a bunch of decent hitters, and they just never can get the big hit. Guys will get a base hit when they're the leadoff man in the 7th down 7-1, but when the game's 3-1 and there's runners on 2nd and 3rd and 2 outs, that same guy is probably striking out, and that's where these little razor-thin margins have come back to bite them and caused the 20-35 record.
So, Spencer, in your mind, how do you fix something like, obviously we know you gotta hit the ball when it matters, you know, in big moments, I get that, but is that one of those things you can tweak the lineup, whatever, or is it, hey, you just don't have that collection of hitters on this roster?
I think there's something to be said for the roster and the lineup being more consistent as this season goes on. I think that's something that's kind of drove me crazy. Is I am a big fan of Warren Schaefer, and I've supported him publicly, you know, on Twitter, I guess if you could call it, since he got the job last year, and I was fully in support of him keeping the job and removing that interim tag this year. But I do get frustrated at his lineups and the fact that you've got a different lineup almost every single night. And yes, there's been some injuries, and they very much have platoon lineups. You'll see tonight, I mean, Brenton Doyle and Jordan Beck are both either or hurt, let's call it hurt. There's some guys that have mysteriously gone on the IL the past couple of weeks that it was more due to performance than injury, but they didn't say that explicitly, so I'm just reading the tea leaves there. But you'll have a left-handed lineup for the Rockies where they go heavy lefts with the Johnstons and the TJ Rumfields and the Edward Julians against righties, and then they go against a lefty, and it's Brenton Doyle, Jordan Beck when they're healthy, and you kind of have literally two different lineups. But then in between, these guys are just – some guys are hitting eighth, and then they're hitting – the next day they're leading off. Like Jake McCarthy is a perfect example of that. Some days TJ Rumfield's in the three spot. Some days he's in the five spot. So it's really been inconsistent on where guys are hitting. I mean, you have Tyler Freeman, who is – a really good just contact guy. He's not going to explode and have any sort of power whatsoever. And some nights he's hitting cleanup. And yes, it's not the old school baseball where your biggest power hitter hits fourth in the lineup. But when you just play teams like we did in the Diamondbacks the past four games before last night, the same five guys hit 1 through 5 in their lineup every single night. And I think the Rockies had a different 1 through 5 every single night through those same four games. So I want to see a little more consistency in the lineup, but I think due to the experimental phase that they're in, it doesn't allow you to say, okay, well, this guy's hot, but this guy's been on the bench and we need to see if he's going to be part of our future. So we got to get him in the lineup when a guy that's maybe hitting better is going to have to sit for the night, you know? So it's a weird place that they're in, trying to figure out who is going to be on this roster moving forward, who they can count on to actually start winning baseball games, and finding out, you know, or just playing the best guys and playing the guys that are hitting the best and trying to give yourself the best shot to win every single night.
Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies. All right, Dirty 30 Challenge. We're, like we said, we're at 20. We need 10 more. How has that shifted based on what we've seen the last week since we had John last?
I think it's pushing back a little bit, but when I looked at the schedule from when we talked last week, I didn't expect them to win many games against the Diamondbacks in Arizona or the Dodgers in LA. Now, if they somehow win tonight or win tomorrow against the Dodgers and tomorrow, heck of a pitching matchup, clash of the Japanese Titans and Shohei Ohtani and Tomoyuki Sugano, which will be a fun watch. But if they win one of these next two games and go 2-5 on this road trip, that's honestly better than I thought they would have done. So I still think we're looking at, I mean, the Brewers have been great. They have the Cubs at home. They go to the Athletics and they go to the Cubs mid-June. There's still that homestand middle of June against the Pirates and the Red Sox. And I think I maybe told you we'd be around June 24th. I know you were hoping kind of maybe what the 19th is your birthday or the 18th.
Yeah,
or something like
17th.
That.
Yeah, right around there, either way.
Well, I will tell you this. If the Cubs continue to play the baseball that they've been playing, the Rockies have 6 of 9 games in between June 10th and June 17th against the Cubs. And the Cubs have lost 9 in a row, and they're absolutely scuffling. They've had 2 10-game winning streaks this season and 1 9-game losing streak. So they're a roller coaster. If the Rockies get this Cubs team, they could win 5 out of those 6 and be done right on your birthday.
You've been kind of consistent the last couple of weeks, right around there, right around that Pittsburgh series, maybe a little before, maybe a little after. So I've been kind of pinpointing that one. We'll see if it checks out, man. We'll see if your aim is true.
Yeah, and when the Reds, I mean, no later than, I'm giving a drop dead, and I'm going to stick with this through our calls, hopefully. The 24th of June against the Red Sox, when the Red Sox are in town, that is your ultimate. You can set that appointment for Friday the 26th or Thursday the 25th.
It's still another month. month, but you know.
It feels like a long time.
You know what you signed up for.
This morning, so.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, I did. I was having, it was not good. And I don't need to tell you, you're dealing with it too. But
it's not good.
I got to get this cut off.
It's getting pretty unruly, I'll tell you that. Spencer, my man, what are you working on that we can check out from DNVR Rockies here in the next couple days?
So we've got actually we'll be having a live show from Coors Field and the new speakeasy here coming up in the next week or so. We've got a live show tomorrow at noon with the Memorial Day holiday. We push from Monday to Wednesday, but a live show on YouTube. You can check us out, DNVR_Rockies or DNVR_sports. Live show at noon on both Wednesday and Friday this week. And then we'll be doing a show in the next couple of weeks from the new Speakeasy 1913 at Coors Field, private kind of membership only place that Coors Field built and the Rockies built this year and made into a really cool spot for people to go in, have drinks. And then our hope is during that show, we get a few players to come on and talk to us a little bit about how the season is going and how they're feeling in Colorado, if it's a newer guy. So it should be awesome, and you can always check any of that out on YouTube.
All right, my friend. I love it. Great work as always, and we'll look to catch up with you next week.
Awesome, Brady. Thanks so much, man. Let's get you to 23 in a week.
Let's get there.
Let's do that.
Let's get, yeah. Yeah, once we get into single digits, you know, it just becomes a reality, and this will get three more. Yeah, man. Easy breezy from that point on.
Jordan week by the time I talk to you next week.
I like it. I like it, man. Spencer, appreciate you as always, my friend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Brady. Take care.
All right, Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies. He's flirting. He's given the kill date June 24th, but he keeps throwing that Pittsburgh series around, which is the ninth Friday, June 19th through Sunday, June 21st. So I'm holding on to hope there. It'd be after the birthday, but that's fine because it'd still be the weekend. Not that that matters. I don't, just something in my mind helps me make sense of it.
So I think you're definitely going to want them to be better than 3-7 every 10 games. You're going to want some 4-6s in there.
If they could steal one of these from the Dodgers.
Well, they will.
Yeah.
They lost a close one
tonight. So
now they're going to get blown out and then they're going to win.
Win tomorrow night. Yeah, I like that. Steal one against San Fran, sweep Los Angeles.
You want them? Get blown out tonight because we have the Avalanche.
That's a good point, Michael. We want to have a good one for you on Wednesday night. All right, 40 minutes after the hour, Mike. Let's take a quick break. Get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.